Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the 2013 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. We're excited that you're here. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'm pleased to welcome you to our opening keynote, panel, Holiday 2013 Omnichannel Retail Trends, sponsored by Bronto. Getting the attention of the increasingly distracted consumer is a challenge to retailers and e-tailers, and they must face this every day. This holiday season is also expected to be the most challenging yet. To be successful in the cluttered world of retail, retailers and e-tailers must market their brands cohesively in a variety of channels, catalogs, websites, social sites, mobile sites, and apps, as well as offer stellar customer service, the best shipping policies ever, the lowest prices. So there's a lot that retailers have to think about. So in today's interactive webinar, our panel of key executives, Peter Cobb, the co-founder and executive vice president of eBags, Kathy Doyle Thomas, the Executive Vice President of Half Price Books, and Howard Weiner, the CEO of Sentiments.com, will discuss the key challenges that omnichannel retailer marketers are going to face this season. We're also going to offer best practices around how to overcome some challenges and achieve success. Before we get started, however, let me point out some technical pointers for you. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Ask a Question box, question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the session, but you can send them in at any time. Also, please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn about the console you're viewing on today. Finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today, and we'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, July 22nd. So watch your email for more details on that, folks. So with that, we're going to start the presentation. So we're going to welcome our panel. And Peter, why don't you go first? Maybe you could just sort of tell the audience a little bit about yourself and about eBags.
Sure. Thanks, Melissa. Peter Cobb, and I'm one of the co-founders of eBags.com, and I handle the marketing, site merchandising, web design, PR, those types of things, international business. eBags.com, just to give a framework for leading up to our holiday discussion, we're a pure play, so we don't have stores that give us a lot of PR and drive people to our site, so we've got to create awareness on our own. We've got 500 brands, 50,000 plus bags from handbags, luggage, backpacks, accessories, so a lot of the for us, it's 50,000 bags is a blessing, but then the curse part is how do you isolate products, trends, and so forth on a small PC screen or even harder on a tablet or smartphone. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Lots of big-name brands, Michael Kors, Samsonite, North Face, Nike, Tumi, which is fantastic, but lots of competition there from Nordstrom to Penney's to Amazon.com. Zappos, et cetera, so pretty competitive marketplace. Our model is a drop ship model, meaning Tumi tells us what they have in their warehouse, and that's what we show on eBags.com. We get order, and so we'll have 1,000 pieces of Tumi because that's what they have in their warehouse. We don't have to purchase the inventory, ship it into a warehouse that we have and maintain it, so we get an order several times a day, ship our orders over to Tumi or Samsonite or on and on, 500-plus brands. They ship directly to the customer. It's a nice model. We get the cash immediately and pay our brands in 30, 60, 90 days. Been around since 99, so we've sold 18 million bags, and we're really a specialty in this vertical of handbags and luggage and backpacks, et cetera, which is about $22 billion retail. And like a lot of people, we're kind of facing this the challenges of being a vertical in a market that you've got some mass, I'll just call them mass merchants, like an Amazon or even a Walmart.com or Macy's.com. So how does a vertical compete against some of these guys that have pretty deep pockets? So that's a little bit of an overview of eBags.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Peter. Our next panelist today is going to be Kathy Doyle-Thomas. So, Kathy, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Half Price Books?
Well, I've been with Half Price Books over 20 years, so I've been around a lot and seen a lot in the book industry over that time, and obviously the industry has changed completely in that the advent of the superstores and the decrease of the independents and obviously the launch of Amazon. But Half Price Books, we're a Dallas-based company. We started in 1972 by a couple of hippies. And, you know, I mean, we have 115 stores over 16 states, and we do $240 million. We have brick-and-mortar stores, but we also have an online presence with the marketplace, marketplace concept similar to Amazon with the marketplace, and that we have a relationship with Monsoon / Libras, and we have 20,000 independent individual sellers and with 150 million books and music and movies on the site. So we are in a tough category, let's just say. I mean, our biggest competitor is not Barnes & Noble or the independent down the street. It is Amazon. We've done some extensive customer research survey on our customers, and so we're in a tough industry, but people still like the printed word, so we're happy with that.
Definitely. Okay, great. And then our last speaker is Howard Weiner, so CEO of Sentiments.com. So, Howard, take it away.
Sure. So, you know, we started back in 1998. By the way, I'm the CEO and the founder of the company. We started in a garage. I think, like I said, 98, so that's about like 75 internet years. We sell all your name brand designer fragrances from Calvin Klein, Dolce & Gabbana, on down to Armani. Tons of SKUs. And what we like to do is offer deep discounts on all of those fragrances. And we provide free shipping with no minimum. So whether you're ordering a $10 fragrance or a $150 fragrance, you're not paying shipping. Sort of unique in our industry to not add on. But we've been able to you know, talk to our friends in the shipping business, and we get really good competitive rates. Obviously, like the other ones, our biggest competitors are Amazon, and, you know, we're always trying to find ways to kill them or kill it. But, you know, we do what we can, and what we try to do is differentiate ourselves by providing great service, one-to-one, you know, type of communications with our customers, and that way we maintain our success.
Perfect. Great. Well, I think we have a great panel with some great, interesting background, sort of a different perspective on a lot of the omnichannel space. So with that, let's get started. Why don't we start with Peter, since you know, he sort of was the first person to speak this morning. What is your biggest challenge heading up to the holidays, and how are you planning to tackle it?
Well, I think I'll talk about kind of an emerging challenge for us. There's always a challenge of how do you drive awareness, drive customers to your store. But I think really something that's popped up in the last year for us, and it's really everyone's mentioned it, and that is this emergence of marketplaces, which has with that comes tremendous price volatility. So it just used to be, you know, you'd set your price and it would last for a week. And you didn't really have to watch too closely. And now, especially, I mean, there's two factors here. One is Amazon is, in some categories, changing prices several times an hour. And but then also Google with their PLAs, product listing ads, they are now showing price with their ads, a photograph and a price. So, you know, they'll show in our world six JanSport backpacks with the price that we're offering, or Zappos or Macy's.com or Alltrek or Backcountry. And if you're one of those six and your price is $5, $10 higher than everyone else, no one is going to click on your image leading to eBags.com. So this whole price volatility and where to reside in the continuum. Do you have higher margins, or do you match price, which in some cases on even Amazon has their platform where different marketplace partners can win that buy box if they accept a lower price, which then upsets the marketplace or at least alters the marketplace. So these are things that I don't think we weren't so concerned about a year ago, but today it is just driving in key SKUs. Especially, you've got people that are taking a stand and going far below what everyone else is in the marketplace. It's even happening with MAP pricing. You know, everyone pretty much says the price is $99. I mean, that's what the brand says. This is what we're all going out at. And then there's a couple rogue retailers that will put it out at $79.99. And we're all faced with, do you match the $79 and upset the brand? Because you've got to be competitive, and we have 100% price guarantee. Or do you play nice with the brand and reside at that $99 price point? So, you know, the question is, how are you planning to tackle it? And we've got much more sophisticated algorithms and spiders to at least understand what the pricing is on a daily basis, and even moving to even more frequently than that. And then, you know, frequent monitoring, and then tools to allow for every 6 hours, do you want to match that price, or do you want to maintain a certain margin? And those are that's really, I think, in this holiday, if the gates open for holiday and people are having some soft sales, I think we're really worried about tremendous discounting much earlier in the season than we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, pricing is a big, big topic. It's going to be big this holiday and going forward, I think. So those are great tips as to how to sort of watch that. Let's go, Kathy, maybe you could talk a little bit about it, about your feeling, you know, what's going on for the holidays.
Well, I mean, I don't know. All you have to do is look at a calendar and realize that Thanksgiving is late this year. And we in retailing are very concerned about that, because actually, since Thanksgiving is late, that means Black Friday is late. And people do not shop. You know, November is going to be really bad if we don't do something proactive to kind of offset the, you know, the time that we know that's going to happen. I mean, Black Friday, we have planned some big promotions for Black Friday, but we've also planned some promotions early in November. And you'll see all the retailers starting to discount stuff earlier than usual to just try to make up their November and December numbers. So I think that's one thing that needs to kind of be thought out at, because what's going to happen is we've sort of trained our customers to look for sales and to look for a discount and not to shop us without a coupon. And it's actually going to end up biting us in the long run, because they're sophisticated, they're smart, they're out there, and we just have to be on top of it that much more. Books as gifts, obviously, this is something that we try to push. Since we're a new and used bookstore, it's always a challenge for us, for people to put us in the category of that they can. We actually have new books in our collection, but we have just started and launched last year a New York Times bestseller program. So we are selling New York Times in our store, and you know, there'll be the big Patterson title and the big Dan Brown title, and so hopefully we'll be able to pick up some of that when borders closed, there were people out there trying to make up for it. So we're doing some different stuff with our merchandise. We're doing some different stuff with our promotions. We're starting a little bit earlier, and we're just trying to be as good as we can be. And we're doing some more direct ship and search, where people can actually come into our stores, and we'll find if we don't have the book, we'll find it for them. Because bottom line is, we don't want people to leave our store without buying something, because it's very easy for them to go home and get on their computer and buy a book from their computer, and we all know they're buying it from Amazon. So we have to keep them in the store as long as possible.
Yep. Excellent. Howard, anything you wanted to discuss there?
Like most of us, we're in a highly competitive space, you know, in the fragrance industry. There's hundreds of other vendors out there. We're all selling the same stuff, and essentially at the basic, you know, cost of everything, we're all buying at about the same price. So, you know, we've got to sort of determine, you know, how much pain we can endure on the margin side, first and foremost, and then, you know, making sure that we have the right product mix. You know, obviously, you know, Britney Spears can come out with a fragrance tomorrow. It can be popular for one day, and then everyone forgets about it, and then it's the next fragrance, whether it's Taylor Swift, all these different types of, you know, entertainers and fragrances. So making sure we have the right product mix is certainly extremely important. And once we have all that stuff, it's how we communicate with those customers, you know, trying to remain, you know, customer-centric and making sure that we have this, you know, this conversation of how we're communicating to them throughout all of our different channels, whether it's social, display, in our website, or even through our email. So we're just trying to maintain our consistency, and that's how we're, you know, planning to tackle this upcoming season, which, you know, we're starting now, you know, ramping up our inventories and getting everything in place so we can, you know, provide those offers and other added values to our consumers.
Okay, excellent. So we talked a little bit about in this discussion about marketing and how to get folks to know about your brand and to come to your store. Kathy, you mentioned the New York Times bestseller promotion. Can you talk a little bit about some other ways that you're, you know, sort of using marketing to acquire and engage customers this time of year?
Well, we're trying Pandora for the first time because we're able to geo-target. I mean, part of our challenge is we're not really national, and we're only in 16 states. Obviously, our online presence is international, but because we only have stores in 16 states, we have to really geo-target our advertising, and we're doing a bunch of, our Black Friday promotion and our gift cards that we do because we know that we love gift cards because we know, I mean, a third of our people never redeem them, so retailers love to sell gift cards because basically they don't redeem them, and when they come in, they end up buying a lot more because it's like free money when they're given it, so we do love our gift cards, but we're doing a bunch of geo-targeting. We're doing, because we have the New York Times bestsellers now, we're actually buying keywords, Dan Brown, James Patterson, so when you're looking for a particular title, you'll have Price Books will pop up. And it's kind of a rebranding for us of that category. So it's some things like that we're doing. We're doing mobile ads, and we're really just trying to do, you know, search engine optimization. And I think it's real important for us to kind of expand and target. We're just doing a whole bunch more geo-targeting, and we've done a lot of radio, commercial radio, Tortoise radio in the past, so I think the Pandora's kind of new for us, so we'll see how it works.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. Howard, do you some promotions, right, just around the holidays?
Sure. So, you know, what we want to try to do going into the holiday season or any, you know, any time of the year is, you know, we want to be communicate to our customers on a one-to-one basis. So, you know, the slide here you see is an email that we send out to existing customers. And what's unique about these particular ads is that they're tailored to each individual customer that we have. So, you know, if we're going to send out an email to 500,000 customers, they're individual emails catered to each specific. So if you look at these fragrances, no two ads will look the same. This helps, you know, when we're communicating with them on a one-to-one basis, they're going to, you know, click on these ads a lot more, and we see higher conversion rates rather than just sending out, you know, in the next ad, your next display email is, you know, that batch and blast. You know, here's our sale, come and see it. We sort of use this in a combo feature that, you know, helps communicate what we're trying to do, convey the value add, and again, by being individual and communicating to them on a one-to-one basis, we're seeing a greater conversion rate. And we see that throughout all that, rather than it's email or through display ads, you know, throughout the whole, you know, the web. We're trying to, like I said, one-to-one with our consumers.
Great. So let me push forward to our next question, which is about mobile in general, sort of how you're how you're going to be using your mobile strategies this year. So, Peter, I know that you have a lot to say about that. So why don't we start with you on that?
Yeah, well, we look at, obviously, mobile as traditionally, we're talking 2 years, but looked at two different devices, tablet and smartphone. They're entirely different how people use them and how they search from on your site, how they use your site. I mean, tablet tends to be, you know, as I say, couch commerce. If somebody, we see a tablet spike at 6 at night because people are coming home, and rather than getting out their laptops and going through their company firewall, they're just turning on their iPad primarily for us. Tablets about 93% iPad. But you know, those are the people that are looking for the experience. They're browsing, they're watching television, watching a movie, Netflix, whatever, but they're also kind of multitasking. It used to be you'd pick up the newspaper, but now people are going to iPads. So that's a different experience. And then smartphone, obviously, that's more people going in and searching for a specific item. So, you know, going in, if you were a flower shop, it would be, I need to get red roses, I forgot, I'm going to go in, get out. For us right now, it would be, I'm just, while I'm waiting the 10 minutes to pick up my son at soccer practice, I'm going to go in and get a backpack so I can get that out of the way. So we're cognizant of that and trying to kind of adapt the experiences for both, but it's really challenging. On the next slide, it shows for us what percent of the people, you know, this shows a little bit of traffic, you know, what we're seeing, at least in the second quarter of this year, traffic for us, you know, about half the people PC, about 16% iPad, pretty much the same for Mac, iPhones 12%, Android 3.5%, and others 6%. So you can see on the, you know, if you count mobile as tablet and smartphone, you know, it's getting up there over 30%, we figure, and it'll probably be this holiday in the 40% plus range. So we took kind of an early position in responsive design, and you see on the next slide kind of some of this escalation of devices that I've been talking about. What we were finding is we were just churning and spending so much time developing the PC side, the tablet side, then the smartphone designs from a creative standpoint, building all these different creative megas. We do a lot of different testing of creative and megas and page types and so forth, and we decided early this year to move to responsive design so that we weren't churning and really maintaining two or three different sites and apps and so forth. So we decided to move to responsive design, and on the next slide you can see, you know, basically most people, I think, know what the responsive design is, but it's really, if you're looking at it from a PC standpoint, you'll see tabs in a header, 13 in this PC layout, and 5 backpacks in a row on a list page. And on the next page, you see that 5 then, if you go to an iPad landscape design, the 5 in the row automatically converts down. That 5th one then rolls down and becomes the first one in the second row, but you still can maintain the consistency of the site. So the iPad user gets the same site experience, and then even next slide goes to the iPhone. And if you actually turned and had a portrait of an iPad, you would see 3 on all of our list pages, and the same thing with our home pages and so forth. But when it converts to iPhone, then the responsive design, without anybody having to do anything, then converts to that format. So removes the tabs. It's a drop down now. It's one backpack, and you can just scroll up. And we're pretty optimistic about this. We know from at least a design standpoint, there is work up front in creating the responsive pages, but once you kind of get in the flow of it, we're not maintaining two or three different sites. And for us, we're really hoping that we can kind of get on and do more creative things with our IT and development, as well as our web designers.
It's really interesting. It's a great way to sort of see how the responsive design really, it makes it sort of easy to have cross-channel device. So thanks for showing us that. Kathy, you mentioned mobile a little bit earlier, I guess sort of around the geo-targeting area. So do you want to just talk a little bit more about that?
No, it's just that, I mean, the reason people use the mobile device for our stores is really just store locator. And so we really, I think, really did a real good job of finding a store and made it easy for our customers to be able to find the store nearest them, because people want to know where they're going. Also, I think that we also have done some creative things with our gift cards. We made it, you know, easy to sell, easy to buy them. And then we also have just different messaging, and we've tried to keep them pretty simple and direct. And I think that we've done some different banner ads that we try to do that just makes it easy. I mean, it's all about ease for the customer. And anytime we can show them where we are, or we can sell something on, or we can link them to our website, we want to do that. So I think that that's what everyone's trying to do in this day and age.
Great. Howard, do you want to talk about your work with mobile?
Sure. Well, unfortunately for us, they haven't developed scratch and sniff screens. So, you know, that's a challenge for us. But as the picture sees, you have our website on our on the left, the mobile. We wanted to try to emulate as best we could the navigation flow, make it easy for our customers. So, and we wanted to make sure that they could find the product quick and easy. Now, you know, well, obviously we're dealing with very savvy shoppers out there. They're always price sensitive. They could be at the mall. They could be at a fragrance store. They could be at a Perfumania. They could be at a counter at Macy's. So we want to make sure that for those customers that are using the mobile apps like ShopSavvy or Red Laser, that if they're scanning that barcode, we're going to make ourselves available with a very competitive price, if not the lowest price. And then once they get to that product, that product's going to be there. And being that it's a mobile site, we're going to get a pretty good high conversion rate because the ease of getting through that is, of course, the most important thing. Also, obviously, customers are checking emails constantly, what we have on our website. We have an inventory notification system. You know, we have a very dynamic inventory. Products are selling in and coming out of stock all the time. Customers leave their email address. If they get that email at lunch or somewhere, hopefully not in the car, they can simply click on the link and go through a quick two or three, you know, a page, you know, I guess you want to call it page on the web, on the mobile site, and convert. So we're giving ourselves better opportunities through our mobile strategies to, you know, gain new customers through the mobile apps, as well as when those hot inventory notifications come in, and they can quickly buy that because nothing's more, you know, because in some cases inventories can be limited on these hot products. So giving them the opportunity to buy it sooner than later, you know, eliminates some of that frustration, because there's nothing worse than getting a notification and finding out, you know, you have to wait till you get home and it might be out of stock. So, again, giving our customers the opportunity of buying it now rather than, you know, maybe missing out if they're in a place where they can't make a purchase.
Hmm. Great. Seems like each of you really are using mobile based on what your, you know, end users' needs are. So I guess that's the message there, sort of figure out what your users need it for and then take it from there. Moving now to the next question that everyone always is talking about nowadays is social. I know some people have mixed feelings about it. Peter, maybe you could talk a little bit about how you're using Facebook this season.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The mixed feelings are, as I said, now 30% of our traffic's coming in through mobile. It's here, and it's only going to grow with Facebook social. But Facebook, let's talk about that. You know, a billion members globally. You cannot deny that people are using social. It's just a question of how do we enter that stream of people going on Facebook to look at friends and share things and like things. And Facebook actually has done a nice job, I think, in the last year with, you know, larger imagery, integrating their ads into the flow of the conversation. It's roughly 1 out of 10 images that you see will be an advertising message that Facebook's integrating in. And obviously, Facebook knows more than any other vehicle that we have on demographic, psychographic, what their likes are. I don't think they've untapped it yet. We're all kind of excited looking, around the pool waiting for somebody to jump in and have some success with social, but it hasn't happened really. I haven't really met too many people where a large part of their revenue is coming from social. But for Facebook, I just think you have to – we're getting in – we've probably – in this one, we've been more of a follower and watching people, talking to a lot of people, working with Facebook. And I think now they're actually for this holiday, they're coming up with some things, you know, the inline advertising and some of the retargeting that you can do that and Howard talked a little bit about that with, you know, if you know somebody likes, they like Tumi or they like North Face or they like Michael Kors, well, then you can do some targeting to say, you know, get your Michael Kors at ebags.com. We're having a special sale. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And, you know, I think our attitude is it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, so let's just test and do some things and see if we can uncover some areas of opportunity. And I think the other part, we're, I think, fortunate at eBags with that we have travel and fashion, and those two play well both with social but also with Instagram, with photographs. And so we'll be putting together some contests with both of those of, you know, being able to share photographs. It could be, you know, tell us where you know, where you've been or where you'd like to go or that type of thing. So we'll be putting something together with Holiday just to try and create some interest and excitement. And in this case, we see social. It's all about customer engagement and how do you can just, you know, where people, Howard mentioned it earlier, there's hundreds of people, retailers selling the exact same products we all sell. And the whole name of the game is how do you elevate your brand so somebody says, I like eBags. I know I could probably spend 10 minutes and maybe get a better price or get better shipping rates, or but I just like the feel of the site. I like the brand. I just feel like they love travel or they love fashion, and I want to give them my business. And we're all faced with that, you know, especially on a Google page where we all kind of look the same. So I think social gives you that ability to create more or express more of a personality for your brand.
Yep, definitely. Kathy, what about Half Price Books, Facebook strategy?
Well, I think that, I mean, we have done a lot of different things, and we try. I mean, we have to be different from Amazon, and so we really try to promote our brand through our social media because we're people who shop us love us. They're kind of we're kind of laid back, kind of hippie-ish, we're kind of funky. We are, but we know books, and we try to really position ourselves as book experts, and we have basically lists all the time. It's something that's been real successful for us. And basically we ask our employees to tell us, you know, the top 20 kids' books that are selling or that we have seen over the decades are parents are buying and they're important to children overall. And I think that what we've done is we've put these lists together and we've sent them out on our Facebook pages and through social media, and we've had great success with mommy bloggers, and we've really capitalized on that market. And it's, you know, the 20 best books that you should read to your children, or that your kids should read when they're in first grade. Or and I think being book experts, we've done a lot of success. You know, the top 40 books that you should read before you die, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we have links to our marketplace, and we've actually seen the needle move. We've seen people, you know, click on the books and go straight to our website and actually purchase the books. So we've actually been positioned as the experts, and we've taken advantage of that. And I think that that's something that we've really been trying to position ourselves as someone different. And I think that through Facebook, we're able to, since we buy and sell textbooks, we're able to really target that college market, and that's been kind of successful for us. And I think that, you know, I mean, it's you really have to know your customer, and you know that, you know, you have to know advertising. You know, it's not always going to work, but if you have a, you know, if you can try to get after that certain group, then it can really kind of help you. And I think, you know, we've put some interesting things together. We have a promotion. We're opening a new store in Austin this next week, and it's basically, you know, win books for a year and tell us what books you'd, you know, you would read if you've got, you know, a book a month for a year or whatever. And I think that we have a very socially engaged customers, and we kind of capitalize on it. And if we know they're talking about something, then we capitalize on it. They're the ones that came up with Half Price Books Haul, H-A-U-L, and we have customers that will videotape and chat with us about what they've bought and what their haul is this week. And we've taken that and we've run with it, and we've had some real good promotions because of it.
That sounds really interesting. Congratulations on the store opening in Austin. That's cool.
Yeah.
Howard, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about how you guys are using social, and I know you use it
sure.
for customer
right. So, you know, way. Obviously you're seeing pictures of our Twitter and Facebook. So, you know, what we're trying to do is how are we going to leverage these social platforms and channels to drive sales? And what we came up with was a social loyalty platform. And if you'll look, you know, move to the next slide, this is what you'll see is our Century Club. Basically, you get rewards for making purchases on our website, which is like most traditional loyalty programs out there. What differentiates ours is that we engage our consumers to be social. So we reward customers with points towards purchases if they do some specific actions, whether it's, you know, post something on their Facebook page, tweet about us, and we leverage our customers and their friends and so on and so forth, like that old Germac shampoo commercial, if anyone's old enough to remember that. They tell two friends and so on and so forth, and they can refer friends. So, again, like I mentioned, leveraging our customers with that and their friends who have, as Peter mentioned, same demos and psychos, we're getting incremental traffic from people that might have the similar interests, and we're finding great success. And, you know, again, going back to, you know, the holiday season and being competitive, this is a way that we're differentiating ourselves from our competitors and, you know, maintaining that retention, keeping those customers loyal and nurturing them to make sure that they come back. Because when they do have those coupons, there are customers and they're going to want to use them at the right time. So I just wanted to mention what we're doing with our social side.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you've had some success with that. I've heard you talk about that before.
Yeah.
So, great. Well, let's stop here. I know we've had some great discussions and some great points have been brought up, but we do have some questions coming in. So, I wanted to make sure to get some of these questions answered. I don't know if we'll have time for every question, but I definitely wanted to sort of get some of these answered. So. Let's see. One question is back to when we were talking a little bit about geolocalization. You kind of talked about that briefly, Kathy. Maybe you could just kind of talk a little bit more about how you do that.
Well, I mean, we know our best customers live, you know, in certain zip codes around the stores, and so we have, you know, been able to geo-target our advertising around that, where we're actually buying certain zip codes for Pandora, and we're, trying to determine, you know, I mean, for the grand opening in Austin, instead of buying all of Austin, we are buying in a, you know, 3 to 5 mile radius around the store, and we're testing it. Basically, we're testing it, and what's nice about it, if it doesn't work, we can try it for a few days, and if we don't see a bunch of click-throughs on Pandora or on some different Facebook opportunities, advertising, then we can just turn it off, and that's what's great about being able to geo-target. We can test things, and we can just decide, well, it's not working. Let's try another word. Let's try another campaign and, you know, move on.
Mm-hmm. I think the other part, Melissa, is, you know, for instance, Google offers geo-targeting, and for, you know, like for us, let's just say Tumi is a very urban brand, very strong in New York City. It's the Wall Street bag. So we can target people from that kind of tri-state area, you know, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, or even Manhattan from keywords. And you have a separate – we're willing to pay more for that person that has the IP from New York City versus somebody in Boise, Idaho that looks at a $700 briefcase and says, wow, that's way too expensive for me. But in New York City, it's the uniform of Wall Street bankers. So you can do that throughout. Same thing with brands like Vera Bradley, not so strong in the West Coast, very strong on the East Coast. We're willing to pay more, and you get a better return on investment. So the other thing I'll say, too, is there are lots of sites now. Well, you have the capability of having a personalization on your site. I know Howard's in Florida, South Florida, it's hurricane season, so you know, Home Depot may run, watch the weather, actually they get weather feeds, and when there's a hurricane approaching, their homepage can go to sump pumps and things like that where the person in California doesn't need to see hurricane products that are used in a hurricane situation.
Okay, great, excellent. Another question, I believe, is about the online review concept or reviews and recommendations. We haven't really talked a little about that at all when we were talking about social. Do you guys put a lot of play into that and adding reviews to things, and what's your take on it? Anybody can answer.
Well, I'll say, for eBags, huge. I mean, we were really into it. We have 2.6 million customer reviews, and it's a big part. We were talking about Amazon or just others, and how do you create a brand and kind of this brand experience and a connection. And I think allowing for customer reviews and really highlighting that in the shopping experience, kind of others like you are also purchasing these products, and here's their comments. And the other side that is, you know, it just allows you to lower return rates because you really get an unbiased opinion of the product.
What I use it for is we can actually use it to do a lot of research, which is kind of real interesting for your customers. And I think that we throw questions out all the time to our customers, and we ask them questions, and then we get a lot of great feedback on if they like the promotion, if they like a book, if they like our store, if they like something that we're doing. So it's actually, people love to give their opinion, and it's really nice because I think that we have a lot of open-ended questions, and it's a good way for them to express themselves. So.
Okay, great. And do you utilize reviews, Howard?
Sure. We have two different platforms. We have a traditional, you know, rated from 1 to 5. You know, obviously there's some designers that are not going to be too privy or too happy about that, especially if their fragrance doesn't smell good. But what we also do is we have a platform that allows our customers to answer questions that are generated by, you know, specific customers. So they'll ask a question, you know, does this fragrance smell good? And then customers can literally just answer the questions for us. So they act as if they're our little, you know, customer salespeople. And, you know, obviously there's far more power coming when there's an answer coming from a customer rather than them asking a customer service staff member or something, because they're always going to give an answer that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, honest and straightforward answers coming from other, you know, customers, you know, provides, you know, that user-generated content and all those good, you know, SEO things. And, you know, it also helps with conversions if they're getting the right answers from people that have experienced purchasing the product, wearing the product. So we do that as well.
One of the listeners is interested in something called the Universal Review Engine. Has anybody ever heard of that? I haven't. Peter, have you heard of that?
No, we're not involved in that.
Yeah, we're not either.
Okay.
No, not me.
Okay.
But I'm going to find out.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to end it here. We only have about a minute left, and I just wanted to say thank you. So let's see. First of all, on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Bronto and also our wonderful speakers, I want to thank everybody for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, I'm going to head over to the networking lounge after this, and I can chat with anyone if they have any other questions. And you can also please visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know all about your experience today. And remember, if you miss anything today, the entire virtual show will be archived, and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday, July 22nd. So with that, have a great day, everyone, and enjoy the Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. Thanks a lot.